Let us pray. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee.
Almighty God, whose kingdom is everlasting and power infinite, have mercy upon the whole church, and so rule the heart of thy chosen servant, Elizabeth, our queen and governor, that she, knowing whose minister she is, may, above all things, seek thy honour and glory, and that we and all her subjects, duly considering whose authority she hath, may faithfully serve, honour, and humbly obey her in thee and for thee, according to thy blessed word and ordinance, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than either we desire or deserve. Pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask, but through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
The reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. The parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes come home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So together we affirm our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Luke chapter 15, verse 11. There was a man who had two sons. A man who had two sons. Well, it's natural and right for brothers and sisters to love one another, to form the closest of bonds, to cherish and support one another throughout their lives. But this is not a story about love in a happy family. It's a story about sibling rivalry, about competition and jealousy between brothers and sisters. Sibling rivalry begins when the second child is born. It can continue throughout childhood and into adult life. Brothers and sisters may quarrel over resources, over privilege, and most of all, over their parents' affection. You'll find a good account of sibling rivalry, if you're interested in the psychology of it, by looking it up on Wikipedia. But you'll also find many examples of civil rivalry in the Bible. It begins with Cain and Abel, the sons of Adam and Eve. The elder son, Cain, thought that his brother Abel was God's favourite, so he killed him. Also in the book of Genesis, Jacob tricked his elder brother into giving him his father's blessing. Well, there can be rivalry between sisters as well. Leah tricked Jacob into marrying her when he was really in love with her sister, Rachel. And then Jacob's son Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery in Egypt. The story goes on from one story to the next. So when Jesus told a story about a man who had two sons, he was talking about a very familiar problem of relationships within the family. So there are three characters in the story: the younger son, the elder son, and their father. Let's begin with the younger son. Now, he was clearly a spoiled child. His father gave him everything he wanted. His father even let him have in advance his share of the family fortune so that he could enjoy it while he was still young. He didn't need to wait for his father to die before he could inherit his share. And having left the family home to live in a distant country, he then spent all he had in an orgy of riotous indulgence. Clearly, this was a very difficult child. When the money ran out, he went to work for his living in a very low-paid, low-status occupation. He would have been happy to share his indigestible meal with the untouchable pigs that he was looking after. But then we're told he came to his senses. It doesn't actually say that he repented, that he was genuinely sorry for what he had done. He just saw that he could still escape from starvation by exploiting his father's love and forgiveness. His return to his family was motivated by a calculation of self-interest. So his return was not welcomed at all by his brother. The elder son was a good boy who always did what was right. He knew that if he waited long enough, he would inherit his father's estate. For many years he'd been slaving away and getting little thanks for it. He didn't obey his father's orders out of love for him, but in order to preserve or increase the value of the family firm. He thought he deserved to have possession of the firm in due course as a reward for his good behaviour. So he too was motivated by a calculation of self-interest. Reading about the elder son, we may be reminded of another saying in the same chapter of Luke's Gospel. Jesus says that there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who did not need to repent. The elder son would have been horrified by that saying. He didn't think he had to repent of anything. He didn't think that there should be any rejoicing over his younger brother who pretended to repent. Was there no justice in heaven? His father was being outrageously unfair. The father in the story certainly treats his unworthy son as his favourite child. He sees him coming home and runs out to greet him. How indulgent that is, how undignified. That's not how the patriarchal head of the household is expected to behave. Would it not have been generous enough to give his son a job in the family firm? That way he could learn his lesson and earn his keep. But instead, he's given all the signs of special favour, and the fatted calf is killed for him to have a feast with his friends. Might remind us of the story of Jacob, who gave his favourite son Joseph a coat of many colours. Such favouritism can only stoke the fires of sibling rivalry. Well, the story of the prodigal son is one of the most dramatic in the Gospels. It can be treasured just for its merit as literature. But of course, there's much more to it than that. It's a parable, and open to more than one interpretation. Like so many of the parables, it is about the relationship of God with his people. Throughout the Bible, we are told that we are children of God, and as children of God, we are all brothers and sisters. This is surely the key to the understanding of this parable. We can relate to God either as an elder child would, or as a younger child would, as a spoilt child, or as a good one. And we can relate to one another as brothers and sisters, either with family affection or with sibling rivalry. Seen this way, the story of the prodigal son has some surprising things to say about God. It encourages us to recognise God as full of love and of forgiveness. In fact, it suggests that God doesn't judge us too harshly when we don't keep the rules he has set. He doesn't reject us, even though we disobey and insult him. He doesn't want to accept us like paid labourers. He wants us to be his friends. This is indeed a humble God who comes to meet us when we're still a long way off. His love for us is unchanging, indestructible, and unconditional. The God that we worship as Christians doesn't treat us at all as we deserve. His justice is outbid by his compassion. Another lesson to be learnt from this story is that God loves us all. His love for one of us is not at the expense of his love for another. His love is infinite and not in short supply. There's no reason for rivalry between the sons and daughters of such a God. There is no competition. We can each rejoice that God loves us all. We can join with the angels in heaven in their celebrations when one sinner repents and is forgiven. So what then might be the sequel to this story? The elder son complains that his father's making too much of a celebration of the younger son's return. His father says that it's right to rejoice, and he appeals for some expression of brotherly love. How does the elder son respond to that plea? Does he go on sulking? Or does he go into the house and join the party? I hope the elder son responds graciously, embraces that brother of his, and their story can have a happy ending. So let us now give thanks to God. Loving Father, we thank you that we're surrounded by such a multitude of brothers and sisters in the fellowship of faith. We rejoice for everyone who repents and acknowledges their need of your love. We thank you for your mercy and your boundless love given to us in our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
If you would like, as a mark of discipleship, to make a donation to support the ministry of this church, you are able to do so via our website. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon the earth, where the rust and moth doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither rust nor moth doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Father, all things come of thee, and of thine own do we give thee. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ Church militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle hast taught us to make prayers and supplications, and to give thanks for all people, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to accept our alms and oblations, and to receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord. And grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to save and defend all Christian kings, princes, and governors, and specially thy servant Elizabeth, our queen, that under her we may be godly and quietly governed. And grant unto her whole council and to all that are put in authority under her, that they may truly and impartially minister justice to the punishment of wickedness and vice, and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, and deacons, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people, give thy heavenly grace, and specially to this congregation here present, that with meek heart and due reverence, they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succour all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. And in a moment of silence, we lift up before God those he has particularly laid on our hearts. We also bless thy holy name for all thy servants, departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace so to follow their good example, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate.
Amen.
Ye that do truly and earnestly repent you of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith. And take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God, meekly kneeling upon your knees. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us, the burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honour and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying, and worthy of all to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John saith. If anyone sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto our Lord God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty everlasting God. Therefore with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord most high.
Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And so we pray together the prayer of humble access. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us.
Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute, and in his holy gospel command us to continue, a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. When the same night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me.
Amen.
O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, grant us thy peace. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for thee, preserve thy body and soul into everlasting life. Take and eat this, in remembrance that Christ died for thee, and feed on him in thy heart, by faith, with thanksgiving.
Amen.
The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Drink this, in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for thee, and be thankful.
Amen.
As our Saviour Christ hath commanded and taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee, for that thou dost vouchsafe to feed us, who have duly received these holy mysteries, with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favour and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, which is the blessed company of all faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom, by the merits of the most precious death and passion of thy dear Son. And we most humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honour and glory, world without end.
Amen.
Glory be to God on high, and in earth peace, goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee. We give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty. O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. May the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be amongst you and remain with you always.
Amen. Amen.